The Old Testament reading for this, the 18th Sunday after Pentecost, comes from the book of Ruth, the first chapter. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
He will command his angels concerning you. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
The epistle reading comes from Paul's second letter to Timothy, the second chapter. "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We Holy Gospel, which serves as our text this morning, comes to us according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, our text today from the gospel lesson is that well-known account of the 10 lepers who came to Jesus for healing and the one who returned to give him thanks. And do you know what this reading makes me think about? Pie. Specifically, lemon meringue pie. Not just because this is the gospel reading for our Thanksgiving services each year, although that certainly doesn't hurt, but because lemon meringue pie and I have a complicated relationship. You see, I really like lemon meringue pie, and I also hate lemon meringue pie. Specifically, I really like my mom's lemon meringue pie, and I kind of hate anyone else's. I hate it because it's not mom's. Because it promises to be a pie like mom's, but then it disappoints. It's called lemon meringue pie, but it's not really lemon meringue pie. Instead of being the electric day glow translucent yellow of mom's pie, it's this sickly pale yellow like candle wax or caterpillars. The lemon part tastes like vanilla pudding and doesn't have that sting to it that it should. It doesn't make your tongue tingle for several seconds after each bite. The meringue tends to be about 20 times thicker than the lemon, feels like sticky rubber in your mouth, and doesn't taste like anything at all. That's not lemon meringue pie. It's a sham. It's a fraud. It's a waste of my time. And after eating it, I just feel cheated and betrayed. I told you it was a complicated man-pie relationship. Mom's pie is so lemony that some people have described it as feeling like battery acid on your tongue. Sometimes the pie isn't even close to firm. It flows all over your plate. It winds up being more like lemon meringue soup. But it doesn't matter, because it's so delicious. But most of all, it's special to me. And Mom knows it. When I go out there to visit, she usually makes a point of making a lemon meringue pie, or two or three, just because I'm going to be there. Perkins, they don't care if I'm there or not. They're still making their filthy lemon meringue impasto anyway. But the care, the love, the special effort that goes into Mom's lemon meringue pie, maybe that's what makes it taste so good. And now we make the disgusting transition from lemon meringue pie to leprosy. Don't think about that one too much. In the reading today, there are 10 people, 10 men, afflicted with leprosy. And afflicted is absolutely the right word. Because of this skin disease, this disgusting, gross, awful thing, they were outcasts. They were quarantined from society. They were unable to be around not just other people, but even their family, their friends. Leprosy took everything from them. It condemned them to living with only other lepers, unable to even come near enough to others to beg for scraps or alms in order to survive. But these 10 lepers, They've heard about this Jesus fellow. They've heard that he can heal people. They've heard that he is in their area. So they go to him. Because what have they got to lose? They stand at a distance, knowing they cannot approach him. They cry out for the impossible, for Jesus to have mercy on them and to heal them of this incurable disease. And lo and behold, that's exactly what Jesus does. They're cured. At just a word from Jesus, they are set free from that death sentence of leprosy, and they are given a whole new life. I mean, can you imagine their joy as they race each other to the priests to show them that they are clean, to be declared able to go back into society, wanting to be the very first one back to his old life, back to normalcy and family and everything else that they haven't had since they became sick? It's a joy for them to know that they're healed, to go back to their world. And then one of them, a Samaritan, an outcast among outcasts, he stops and he thinks about what has just happened. He realizes that the celebration, the joy, the old life, all of that he was looking forward to so much, he realizes that can wait. Because it's more important to go back and give thanks and praise to the one who gave him this precious gift. He runs back to Jesus, probably just as quickly as he was running to the priests. And this time, he comes close. He falls down at Jesus' feet and worships the great healer of both body and soul. And as he's doing that, Jesus asks a question. He says, "Didn't I heal 10? Where are the 9? Where are the 9 other lepers, the ones who were healed, but they did not return to give thanks to Jesus Christ? Where are they? What has happened to them?" Well, if it were us, we might think to ourselves, you know, if they're not going to be grateful, we're going to take the gift right back. But that's not what happened. The 9 former lepers, they are just as healed as this 10th who came back to worship. Jesus didn't spitefully say, "Well, fine then, here's your leprosy back, you ungrateful twits." That's not how Jesus works. In fact, some people might question why Jesus even asked that. They might say, I mean, they were just doing what Jesus told them to do. Go to the priest, show themselves to the priest, just as Jesus commanded. And they were doing that. And that's good. And then from there, they went to their families. And then to their friends. And then to their old jobs. And to their old life. And very quickly, it seems, they simply forgot about Jesus, the one who gave them this gift. Well, they probably intended to go back as soon as things were a little less hectic, as soon as they had taken care of some of that really important stuff, as soon as things settled down in their lives. But we all know how good intentions go, and we all know when things become less hectic and settle down in our lives. Never. They were healed. But was it really anything special to them, or just a nasty old lemon meringue pie out of a box? They didn't recognize the care and the love that went into that healing. And so they didn't see any real need to go back and give Jesus special thanks. Sure, they were grateful, kind of, but they had more important things to do. Where are the 9? Well, they're going about their lives, being bountifully blessed by God, enjoying the healing and life that he gave to them, but not recognizing it as the precious gift that it is. And now we transition from those lepers back then to our church service today. Look around at the pews. Where are the 9? Or the 90? Or the 900? Everyone in this community, in this area, in this country, in this world, everyone is bountifully blessed by God. The Bible assures us that God makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, makes the rain fall on the just and the unjust. He does not spitefully say, "You know what? You didn't say a prayer before eating your sandwich, so enjoy your heartburn, sucker." I mean, that's not fatherly love. That's not a blessing. That's tyranny. People would bow down to God simply to avoid a smiting rather than out of true faith and love. No. God, our loving Creator, our Heavenly Father, He pours out earthly blessings freely and richly, and He fills the lives of all mankind because He loves all mankind. And yet, so many very quickly forget about Jesus. And I'm not just talking about the ones who vehemently deny His existence or attribute His gracious gifts to some kind of a false god and give thanks to the creation rather than the Creator. No, even those who believe, even as Christians, we so quickly get distracted by the worldly things around us that we're distracted and we don't care. Even the very blessings that God gives us can become the distraction that take our mind off of Him. Work. Work is a precious gift from God. But it so quickly consumes our lives that either we're working every Sunday or we're so tired from working that Sunday is our only day to rest, so there's just no chance to get up early and come and hear God's Word. Family. Family is a precious gift from God. But so often we think to ourselves, you know, let's not waste our Sunday in church when we could be out having family time, camping or fishing or watching cartoons in our pajamas. Our homes, our friends, our possessions, our pets, our futures, our cars, all of these things are precious gifts from God. Like that healing that was given to the lepers. And yet, so quickly, they all become distractions that pull us away from God rather than bring us closer. Now, this is not to say that God demands perfect attendance and He's going to smite those who dare miss 2 weeks in a row. Again, that's not love. That's tyranny. But for that one leper who did come back, for that one person who fights those sinful inclinations and does go to church despite the fact that every fiber of his being says, "I don't want to," oh, how much more blessed are they. Now, the one leper's healing, it wasn't better than the others. A faithful Christian's car or paycheck, it's not necessarily larger than everyone else's. We aren't given one free wish if we come to church 4 Sundays in a row and get our card punched. But to recognize where those blessings come from, to give God the glory and thanks that He truly deserves, to understand the love and the care and the mercy that our Lord has for us, it makes every one of those blessings so much sweeter. To realize how much care and concern and love goes into every blessing that God gives to our life. To hear God tell us how He loves to bless us. How He rejoices in giving us gifts. That's what turns life from a factory-made pie that you have to endure to that precious, handmade, one-of-a-kind lemon meringue pie from the oven of Mom. Because when we know God's Word, when we keep it at the center of our lives, we graciously, joyfully recognize that every single blessing is an undeserved gift, and we live lives of constant thanksgiving. Because understand this, as sinners, you don't deserve any of God's gifts, not one of them. You don't deserve life. You don't deserve friends or family or riches or wealth or anything that you have. You don't deserve to be here, and neither do I, because we are sinners and sin separates us from God. And yet, God pours so freely into our lives, bountiful blessing after blessing after blessing, so many
that we can't even count them and kind of ignore them. All of that is possible only by the cross of Jesus Christ. Our sin, it separates us from God. We have transgressed His holy word. We have done what is wicked and evil in His sight. And He who is holy and perfect and just does not tolerate sin. Our sin removes us from God's presence. It condemns us to eternal darkness. It is that bad. But there on the cross, there in bloody sweat and agony, Jesus Christ took that sin that separates you from God, and He laid it upon Himself. He became the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the perfect sacrificial Lamb who willingly gave His life so that you could be covered with His robe of righteousness. He took your sin away. He restored you. He made you whole. He made you once again, not a stranger who is cast out into outer darkness, but made you a child of God. As sinners, those 10 lepers, they shouldn't have been able to approach Jesus at all, even crying out from a distance. As sinners, we shouldn't be able to sit here in the presence of the one true and triune and living God, hearing His word. But we are forgiven sinners. We are cleansed of all our unrighteousness. We are washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ and declared to be wholly innocent and righteous in His sight. Our sin is removed from us as far as the east is from the west, and we are made clean. And so as such, it is not a burden to come before God and hear His word. It is not a chore that we have to do in order for God to keep loving us. It is not something that we must do in order to get better blessings in this world. No, it is our great joy to return to Jesus Christ and to give Him thanks and praise. It is our great joy to not only receive all blessings with thanksgiving, but also to know without a doubt that those blessings will continue throughout our entire lives. Church isn't about coming here to give something to God. Here we receive more blessings, more forgiveness, more of the Holy Spirit poured out into our lives, more reminders of who God is and what He has done for us. We know that God's blessings will continue throughout our lives because He has promised us. Not always in great bounty, not always in the ways that we think they should, because those blessings, they so quickly become distractions and separate us from God. And our Heavenly Father knows that. And He doesn't want us to be spoiled brats who get everything we want and don't care a pinch about Him or the world. But God will always provide. God will always give us far more than we need and far, far more than we deserve, because He is our loving Heavenly Father. Most importantly, God, He will continue to forgive us of all of our trespasses. When we fail to live according to His word, God doesn't withdraw the blessings and say, well, once you shape up, then we'll talk again. Yes, there are consequences to our sin, but those consequences, by the grace of God, are not eternal as they could be. Instead, God speaks to us by His word. He comes to us over and over and over. He reminds us to come back to Him. He lovingly corrects us and He forgives us completely, 100%. Not because we promise to fix ourselves and say, Lord, if I do this, will You bless me more? But He forgives us because of what He Himself has done by the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of God's forgiveness in our lives, we know that His blessings will never come to an end, because His love endures forever, carrying us not only through this world of sin and death and darkness, but for all eternity in His perfect paradise of heaven. For Jesus Christ died on the cross to take away our sin and rose again from the grave to break the chains of death that bound you. He has given you not just hope, but the guarantee of everlasting life in heaven, for all those who look to him in faith. What a gracious gift. What a glorious gift from our Heavenly Father. And so knowing that, how can we do anything other than give constant thanks and praise to our Lord, glorifying him with our gifts and with our lives, coming to worship at his feet and sing out his praises to the world? And we do that not to earn more blessings or to make sure God doesn't take them away from us, but we do it so that others will know where their blessings come from and how precious they truly are, and that they too will return thanks to Jesus and compound their blessings like we have. We do it because we love our Heavenly Father and want to receive more and more and more of those eternal gifts that God gives to us. We do it because he is our loving Heavenly Father who puts so much thought and care and love into every single gift that how could we do anything else? And so if you were planning to surprise me at some point in the near future with a lemon meringue pie, I'm sorry. It simply won't be good enough to compare with Mom's. If you are going through life taking God's gifts for granted, giving thanks only to your own hard work or your paycheck or anything else, well, you're missing out on something that is so, so much better. You're settling for that weak, pale pile of fluff that someone claims is lemon meringue pie. But God, he gives you the real thing. Blessing upon blessing upon blessing, made all the sweeter when we recognize his grace and his love in our undeserving lives. Where are the nine? Well, they are still blessed, just as everyone in this world is. But they are robbing themselves of the greatest blessing, knowing the love and mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. So go tell them. Share the good news. Don't keep the pie to yourself. There's more than enough to go around, because Jesus' sacrifice and forgiveness, it is for all mankind, all who look to him in faith. Tell the good news. Give thanks to God. Hear his word with joy and rejoice that by his cross, by his empty tomb, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. To God alone be all glory, now and forever. Amen.